flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
We are less than a week away from pitchers and catchers reporting, BT, and I didn't have a chance to talk about it last week when Boomer made a big deal about Pete Alonso. We're still waiting for that, of course, but I did give it some thought. And you and I have had this conversation many times over the course of the last couple of years, right, since whenever we put together a couple of summers ago. And it's not that I'm changing my mind on Pete, because I do think the Mets bringing Pete back, which, by the way, we agree at this point that that is going to be the case, right? Mm-hmm. After the Fan Fest and Cohen's comments, I felt like that would bring the two sides together.
Yep.
More so than I did before when they were saying, like, it seems like Pete's going to go elsewhere. There's reasons for it. Pete doesn't have a market, end of story. Mets still need a bat in that lineup. But here's my thought, and it's gone many different ways because many different things have happened over the course of even the last month or so. I think at this point, too much damage has been done, and I think it would be a mistake for both sides to bring Pete back. I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring Pete back, and the Mets fans are going to be excited. We got our guy back, blah, 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 blah. Ignoring a lot of facts here that can lead to a bad relationship where the Mets may want him, but they don't really want him. He may want to be back, but he doesn't really want to be back. He had no other options. The Mets don't have a better option at this particular point. And not to mention Pete Alonso in his proven years, the last couple years, has done nothing. I don't believe that the Mets bringing Pete Alonso back is good for either party.
Pete Alonso, to me, is probably the most confounding subject that I've come across, honestly, certainly since I came to WFAN, and even just going back to when I was listening to WFAN, it's very, very complex. He's homegrown. He's not past his prime. He plays every day. He's productive. I feel like they kind of need him as protection for Soto, keep Vientos at third base, and the other reasons that, you know, that I think make sense from a baseball perspective. But he's so flawed. So then you could have a conversation the other way.
Right.
I think, Sal, if this was the kind of situation that, and I do agree, it's going to get done. He will be a Met.
I mean, he's getting all the choice.
He's going to be a Met. He's going to be a Met. Yeah. And I still think that that's more good than bad. I think that if Pete Alonso returning got in the way of the Mets eventually trying to get Vlad Guerrero,
yeah,
I would say we got a problem here. It's not worth it. But I don't think that you sign Juan Soto at the age of 25 for $800 million and enter year one. You never know how long these primes are. And go in with a less than lineup and try to figure things out during the season. He's not perfect. He's a one-dimensional player. But what would be behind Soto without Alonso versus Alonso right. being behind Soto, to me, is more appealing from a baseball perspective. And I could deal with the other stuff for now.
Understood. Here's my biggest issue. Like, I was in agreement with that a month ago or a month and a half ago, if they brought him back under better circumstances. The way this is dragged, like, do you think Pete is happy in this current situation?
No, I think his ego is absolutely dented.
Okay, me too. Right now, I don't know Pete personally, but we're just using some common sense. 100% he's got to be hurt, frustrated, probably upset at himself for turning down the deal 2 years ago, probably upset at himself for firing his then agents and going with Scott Boras, mm-hmm. upset that the market is saying what he's worth, upset that the Mets weren't willing to extend a homegrown guy who's produced, upset for not doing well enough last year. Pete Alonso is not going to be the best version of himself this year, which is why Well, I mean, we don't know that. That's my thought. Because of all those things,
okay,
I would lean toward Pete not being the best version of himself. Not to mention that we saw him in a prove-it deal last year when I thought he was going to hit 50 home runs a year ago. I said, you know what? Pete's going to bet on himself, hit 50 home runs. Mets are going to sign him. He'll get $200 million happily ever after.
Mm.
That is not the case now. Now everybody's upset. The Mets are frustrated. You heard it from the owner himself saying he's exhausted by these negotiations. Maybe they looked to get other options and they couldn't find. I have no idea. But that's my bigger issue. It's not anti-Pete. It's this version of Pete not being ultimately happy combined with him again being in a prove-it deal, because in all likelihood it's going to be a deal with opt-outs.
You know, meaning if he puts up big numbers, he can opt out. So it's not quite as literally like last year. But it basically equates to the same thing. You bet on yourself, you do well, and you benefit.
A player who has declined in performance the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
The baseball perspective, okay. I get that stuff.
So that's all that I'm saying. And I get what you're saying about, well, what else would they do? And it's not going to impact Mauricio because they still need a right-handed DH anyway. So Pete will play some first. Maybe Vientos DHs a little bit. You get Mauricio, whoever you want to get, the young kid at third base or second base. Like, they'll figure that out.
Yep.
So I don't think that it hurts, like, as far as blocking anybody. But this is not the marriage that Met fans ultimately wanted, nor did Pete want. This is a, hey, you have no better options. We needed the bat. Let's just see if we can make it work for a year or two, or however long they end up coming to a deal.
So I think that. Oh, by the way, you left off one important thing about why Pete might be feeling, you know, the way he is. That very likely feel that I agree with you because he's a human being, and whether it's $70 million or 75, which is a ton of money to us, it's still, they just gave somebody that did not come through their system almost $1 billion like that. Not to mention suites and jets and all these other concessions the Mets made to bring Soto, and as a human being, yeah, I get it. Pete's probably sitting there saying, geez, you can't scrape two nickels together for me? This couldn't be easier. So I understand all that. But I think that once, and you know, everybody is different. And I do think that he did not handle his free agency well last year. I think he became a little bit tight. But I think that, I said this when Sal was out, I think a lot of Met fans, and this is where I think it could open up Pete and make him feel free to produce this year, because I do agree that he's hurt right now and he's not going to be enthralled with the deal, even though he's probably going to sign it. I think that so many Met fans have put up this exterior because they really thought, like many of us did as recently as a week and a half or so ago, that Pete was going to move on. And they were conditioning themselves to deal with the what seemed to be an inevitable departure of one of their all-time favorite players, certainly for this generation. And they made it seem like they didn't really want Pete to stay. Now, I know that you have a little bit of a different opinion. I know I certainly don't cast this as the widest net pertaining to 100% of Met fans. I get that. But I can promise that there is a wide number, a massive number of Met fans who have been calling us, we're repeat, he's not that good, gonna move on.
Yeah.
When Pete does re-sign, they will be so happy.
Right.
And I think that that adulation that Pete will then feel, I think that that will, at least when he's there on a nightly basis to do his job, it will alleviate any tension or distaste he has for the franchise, and he will produce enough.
I would love to think that that's the case, but I've seen him get adulation from the fan base the last couple years and not perform. Look, it could go two ways, right? One of two ways here with Pete. He could either say, nobody wanted me, including this team. Nobody thought I was worth anything. I'm going to go show everybody what type of player I am and go out there and have a monster year. Or he can do what he did a year ago and wilt under the, I don't even want to say pressure, because I don't think it's about pressure. He had a good postseason.
Yep.
Just playing with the
the heaviness, the burden.
What people don't see,
people just see Pete Alonso getting in the batter's box every night, right? And 34 home runs, 88 RBIs. What's going on? What they don't see, and this is the human aspect. And again, you don't care about that. I mean fans. And I didn't when I was. Right. I get it. How's your team doing? How's your player doing? But what we don't see, what you don't see out there, Met fans, is maybe before he gets out of his car to walk into Citi Field, he's on the phone for an hour with Scott Boras,
right,
talking about contracts and this and that. And like, that is a heaviness when you think about having to pick up and move your family and who wants you and who might not, and tax implications and generational wealth. I know it's a good problem to have at the end of the day. Trust me. It's not like trying to make mortgage when you have nothing in the bank. Understood. But man, it's we trivialize what he had to deal with last year. It is a lot. And listen, when you have pressure, that's a good thing. Like, pressure is actually what's the expression? Pressure is a
privilege.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Sal. Pressure is a privilege because with pressure, that means we're expecting you to do something. You and I have pressure.
Right.
Hey, we could just have jobs. You could be at Home Depot still. I could be coaching. I could be a whatever. Nobody could know us. But the pressure, which can be tough sometimes in our world, the pressure is good because we are here and it's a privilege. So I think it's going to get done. I don't think Pete will be thrilled with the deal, but I think more importantly, the Mets will be better with him than without him.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joe is calling from Valley Stream. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? Pressure is a privilege.
Yes. Yes. It was escaping me for a moment.
Yeah.
Why can't they
pressure's
do
Pressure's been a
3 years.
Problem for Pete. That's the issue.
Yeah, you're right. Why can't they do 3 years, $75 million with incentives? If you hit 40 home runs, 50 home runs, here's another $5 million. Here's another $10 million if you bat 275. Why can't they do that? And a quick side note, I know you don't like hang up and listen, but I got to go back to work. Why can't every other contract in the sports be incentive-based? Why are we always telling people for what they've done and what they're going to instead of what they're going to do?
Well, that's a different question. That's actually one of the most important questions because so many deals. Thank you, Joan. That's why, Sal, we've seen this pretty stark recalibration of free agent contracts here because, you know, hell, even Mike Trout got paid for 30%. Like, Mike Trout's new contract years ago with the Angels was already for 30% of what he's done.
Right.
It makes no sense. Like, you know, like, why am I paying you on what you've already done? I want to pay you on what you're about to do.
Right. Yeah, well, that's why I think teams have gotten smarter. Everybody's talking about the owners and collusion. I think teams have gotten smarter. Saying, I'm not going to pay so-and-so based on what he did. I'm going to pay him based on what I project that he's going to do. And even that is a difficult thing. There are incentives involved. That's why I like the idea. Sandy Alderson did this years ago, and I think David Stearns does it to a certain extent. You know, last year in the rotation, signing guys on a one-year deal, saying, okay, well, we know we're going to get like you're doing that. You are paying incentive-based if you sign a one-year deal when you know they're in their walk year because they're pitching or playing for a new contract.
You're true.
That's the way that you want to do it. Have guys motivated to play for something. The problem is with Pete in particular, BT, he had that a year ago. The Mets basically, Cohen said it flat out. I hope he goes out there and hits 50 home runs and makes it difficult on me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He had every opportunity to do it. He didn't. So while you say that the Mets will be better with Pete in the lineup, I think in theory, yes, like you add Pete, you're not losing anything. Okay, the payroll goes up a little bit. Who cares? It's not our money. And the assumption that they bring him back, it's not going to take a roster spot away from anybody. But is he actually going to perform? Because last year, one of the Mets' most successful seasons in the history of the franchise, Pete Alonso was one of the least impactful players that I've seen for a guy who, you know, hit 30-whatever home runs and drove an 80 run.
True, but if he doesn't hit that opposite field home run, the Mets season ends with a thud. And, well, you know, some of the other stories, whether it was Vientos or Lindor having these big October moments, they're not written because Pete extended the season. As frustrating as he was during the season, and when he dropped the pop-up before the home run, Pete extended the season.
Yeah, if he doesn't hit that home run,
I think he's gone.
Okay, well, what do you... Okay, but then why should that make a difference?
No, I'm not saying it should. I'm not saying that it should. I think that he probably, the optic, I mean, just think about how you felt when he dropped that. I'm like, this is the end right here. You can't bring him back.
Even before he dropped the ball, like just the whole year was immensely frustrating.
But they didn't have Soto yet, Sal. You don't think he's going to reap the rewards of having this guy on base 43% of the time?
I mean,
if he can't, then he's a stiff, and I know he's not a stiff.
Well, I'm asking you, do you trust him? Because I don't.
Do I trust him? Okay, so I need to streamline the question. Okay. Do I trust him to do what? I need more.
To produce.
But that's a very broad term.
Okay, well,
do I trust him at 35 and 90?
Would you say 35
and 90? I trust it.
35 and 90 with Soto, assuming.
I might even go higher.
Soto's do I hit trust, in front of him.
I know. Do I trust 40? Do I trust 35 and 105? I do. Do I trust 38 and 109? Yeah, I probably do.
Let's really play the hypothetical here. Let's say they do bring him back.
Now, I don't even like the guy's a player.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at, right? So
I really don't, but I think that they need him now. They need him now.
But why? He didn't do anything last year.
Who's hitting behind Alonso? Behind Soto?
I mean, look,
who? Nemo?
No, it would be Vientos. Right now, I think you'd
Siri?
Go, I think you'd go Lindor. I think you'd go Soto. I think you'd go Vientos and Nemo. Now, obviously,
you can't have Nemo bat fourth, dude.
Right, but what if Pete hits 220 again?
Well, what? Okay, he might.
Like, I trust Alvarez to have a bounce back year and Nemo to be an all-star more than I do Pete to regain his form from now 3 years ago.
Okay, now that is a very interesting statement. I obviously can't tell you what to feel, but that seems unfair.
Maybe.
That seems unfair. Alvarez has done nothing, and Nimmo's numbers are going in the wrong direction as well as on base. It's dropping at this ridiculous rate by the year.
Yeah, I just think
it is.
I think their mentalities are different. Nimmo was playing like an all-star and was impactful in the first half of last year. Pete never did that. Even though Pete was the all-star, he never did that. And by the way, like, I get that. Having Pete and adding him is better than nothing, right? You could, the power should be there. Let's just say Pete does have a big year. 45 homers, 110 ribbies.
It's 262, let's say.
That's a monster year
Huge.
For him, right? What do you think the play is then? Let's assume that Pete, if they do bring him back, we know it's going to be a shorter term deal.
100%.
And we would expect, I don't know this, we would expect that there's going to be, you know, some opt-outs. Is it going to be year two, year one? Who the hell knows?
Mm-hmm.
But you would expect that Boris and Pete are going to figure out a way to make sure they opt out to maximize their thing. So let's just say he has a monster year. He opts out.
Uh-huh.
What kind of contract do you think Pete gets? Forget about from the Mets, just in general.
It pretty much the same thing.
Me too.
Because he's not going to get quicker, not going to get younger, not going to become a lefty fielder, not going to become a lefty hitter, and he's not going to become a third baseman. He's
right.
So the market's changed. But to me, that's not the point. Like, if this was 5, 6, 7 years, which clearly there's no chance in hell it will be, then to me that would handcuff the franchise to a point moving forward where that would be untenable for me. Zero interest.
So,
and I'm not even a big believer in Pete's talents. You know that. But I do believe I've got to be fair to him in this regard. I've always tried to be fair. The man is a prodigious home run hitter.
Yeah.
And see, at least after, let's say he puts up those big numbers that you just gave me, at least, not that the Mets would resign him for big money. Maybe he opts out, maybe he goes elsewhere, maybe he doesn't opt out, maybe he stays another year, whatever. But by then I have more answers. I know who Mauricio is. I know exactly what Vientos is. I get another year from Alvarez. Like, I have more definitive intel on my team, which means I can make a more educated decision because I know what we have or maybe what we don't.
All this is to me would be delaying the inevitable. I think Pete wants a big contract.
He ain't getting it.
Okay, I don't know if he's getting that ever from anywhere.
Never.
But he's certainly not getting it from the Mets.
I agree.
And then this 1 year, so we're expecting that it's going to work just because the Mets would want to bring him back or whatever. Like, again, with his mentality off of the last 2 years and knowing how he's been valued or lack thereof this offseason, like, you would bet on Pete to have a big year? I would not. I think it's a mistake. When you have a bad relationship, a relationship that you know has run its course, for whatever reason, man, I get it. I've been in them. Like, oh, there's the appeal.
We've all been there.
You remember the good times. You want to keep it going or get back together.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point, the way the offseason has gone, too much damage has been done between both sides to make this a successful marriage, even if it's for just another year.
You might be right. You might be onto something. All I'm saying is, I'm trying to mitigate risk, okay?
Yeah.
And while giving him a ludicrous contract would be incredibly risky, and again, that's never going to happen, whether it's the 2 or the 3 years for decent money, know you're going to get 30-something bombs, like, that is something I need behind Juan Soto from a Mets perspective. Let me ask you this, Sal.
Yeah.
If Pete Alonso had 2 years to go on his contract, and, like, we're not even here, like, say the Mets would have extended him a couple of years ago, bought out a couple of years of arbitration, no funny money, nothing bonkers, not like Acuna with the Braves years ago, but he had let's say he's got 2 years to go, and he's making $21 and $23 million this year, you'd feel pretty good, and you'd feel pretty good about him batting behind Juan Soto, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So you don't think that he'll be able to compartmentalize because as much as he stumbled the year, he still had 34 home runs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think the damage is done. To me, it's not about value or what he gets. It's not even about, well, what are the other better options? I mean, I just feel like this particular, and again, I've been back and forth on this because a month and a half ago, I was saying, just sign, just go. What are you doing? Like, why are we messing around here? There are no other good options.
Yep.
You need another bat to protect Juan Soto. Just go give Pete, you know, the 4 years, $120 million. But that's a different scenario that I'd be bringing him back in.
Because you think he'd be happier.
Yes, I do. Then since then, it's been Pete's looking elsewhere. The Mets are saying, we feel like we're moving on. And, you know, who knows how this whole thing is going to play out. But if they said that, right, the Mets said, you heard Cohen, what he had to say, an amazing day, even though I think that brought them two to closer together. And then who knows what happened with Toronto. I mean, Evan was talking about, you know, Pete's wife having an impact. Maybe she didn't want to play in Toronto. I mean, whatever. Who knows what's going on? But it feels like Pete has no other options. And because we were saying, well, the Mets obviously could use another bat in that lineup to protect Soto, well, why not just have it together? But that an arranged marriage like that, or being forced because Pete has no better options, the Mets have no better option, that to me is not the right recipe for success.
For long-term success, I agree. But it's nothing that, you know, a three-run, 417-foot missile in the first inning or the fourth inning of opening day or the home opener against Toronto with Soto on second or on first and Lindor on second and 50,000 Met fans, you know, just showering him with adulation, which even if he is, you know, turned off by the tone and the tenor of the negotiations, I think the baseball vibe, which he will enjoy even more so than last year because Soto's here, and the I believe the overwhelming happiness from 80, 85, 90% of the fan base, despite what they said for the past month, I think that would put him in a good enough mental space for it to benefit the Mets from a baseball perspective.